All right, quick question. Not really a question. It's something I want you to answer, though. Name some of your favorite inspirational movies. Top Gun? That's your one? Inspiration? There you go. All right. I'm glad you do. That's cool. What else? Inspirational. What's the one that Mel Gibson made recently about the guy that he didn't want to handle weapons? I can't remember the name of it. Hacksaw Ridge. That's pretty inspirational. That's good. I saw that not too long ago. What else? Inspirational movie. What'd you say? Braveheart. Oh, yeah, man, that speech. That was awesome. What'd you say?
Unbroken.
Okay, very good. Yeah, that was awesome. Give me a few more. Inspirational. Oh, yeah. There's that one scene where we've used that. That's good stuff. That's good. Rudy. Man, I love that. Just showed that. Is that the one we showed to Clayton recently? Yeah, give me one more. One more.
Rocky.
Yeah, that's the one, man. I mean, for me, it's Rocky. What were you going to say, Carrie? You look like. Oh, yeah. Blindside. Once you said Sandra Bullock, I was like, because most of her movies are kind of like the romantic comedies and stuff. But there you go. Yeah, I remember that one. All right, so here's the thing. Now, this is something we've talked about in the past. Because of, we're the Story Church, I've done actually a lot of looking at story and what makes a great story and all that. We've talked about this before, and I'm actually going to go ahead and put it up. So, Gabe, if you throw it up there, most of the great stories that we've ever known have what's called a similar narrative arc, all right? You don't need to know what that is. I'm not even going to get into all the details of it. But what you have is these just common, the structure of a story. And so what you have is a likable character who wants something. All right, even at the beginning of Rocky, one of the first things in the very first movie, I can't remember exactly, but he's going around and there's a girl, a young girl, who's hanging out with a bunch of guys that are just not real nice or whatever, I don't remember. But he kind of pulls her away and says, come on. And she's kind of talking some smack to him, but, he walks her on home and all that. And immediately you begin to like him. You don't even know what they're doing, but that's what they're doing. They're getting you to like him. Because in that moment, you begin to cheer for him and root for him no matter what. And so that's the first part of a story. You have to have a likable character, and they want something, whatever it is. Maybe they don't even know it at this point, but you can tell, they're having these things that are going on in their life, and they're just kind of, maybe they're just displeased, or things at work are just flying in their face, or the relationships are messed up, and you know that they want something, but you don't necessarily know what it is. All right, the next thing is an inciting incident. It just means that something happens. All right, something happens, and it just, whether or not they want to go, it thrusts them into the story. All right, they don't have a choice. It just sends them right into it. And then from that, you have all the twists and turns, the positive and negative turns in the story. And then at the end of it, what you have is the climax. So and that is where your likable character gets what they wanted or something even better. Okay? And when they don't, that's what's called a tragedy. All right, now, so we love, and if you saw the video I put out this week, we love these inspirational movies. We love when we see an inspirational life that was made into a movie. We just do. And I think there are a lot of reasons. A lot of times it's just a good story. But I think it's more than that. I think that deep down, like really, really deep down, there's something stirring inside of us that's saying, I want that to be me. There's something in us saying, man, I'm looking at my life, and I feel like I was just created for so much more. Like there's something bigger, there's something going on. And we don't necessarily think in those words, but it's just a stirring that goes on. And I think when we see those movies, we leave though, and for a short time, we almost want to face the giants, or we want to take on that thing. We want to keep going when everybody else would give up. In fact, what you usually see is in the stories, they get to a point of wanting to give up. Right, and it's just an amazing thing. And I think that deep down, we look at that and say, I want that to be me. I want to be the type of person that faces my fears, right? And so it stirs and it stirs and it stirs. But the reality is that most people don't. Most of us, we just live our life never having faced our greatest fears or never really gone for it, like putting ourselves on the line. Like we have these things like, I really should. But then we just talk ourselves out of it. And the more we talk ourselves out of it, the harder it becomes to do those things. And most people just never experience those rocky moments. They never experience what it's like to overcome an obstacle that they really thought that they never would be able to. All right, so this is another question we've asked in the past. So let's go ahead and put it up. And I love this question. I think it's a good one to kind of keep in our back pocket. And that's, if your life was made into a movie, would you want to go see it? Would other people want to go see it? Would you want to invite people to that movie? It's a movie about my life. Come check it out. You know, I think a lot of people would say, we'd have to say, no. I mean, compared to the movies I see of these inspirational characters, my life is just, it's boring, right? I mean, I'm not facing my greatest fears and all that stuff. Now, the whole idea of this series that we're starting today called Live/Share a Better Story is that I'm fully convinced, and as I talk to you, I'm also talking to myself, I'm fully convinced you were not made for a boring story. Not a single person around was made for a boring story, no. I think every single person was made for some sort of epic tale, right? Now, it's not going to look necessarily like we see in the movies, but we're talking an amazing and an incredible story. God does not have for you a boring story. Like, I'm giving these people this inspirational story, but for you, you know, just kind of get through life, you know, and you'll be good. No, you were made for so much more than that. Now, one of the reasons why I think that most of us miss out on this life that the Lord has for us, it kind of goes back to the whole thing of story. You see, when we there's something when we look at characters in movies that they do that we don't. All right? So I mentioned that there's a moment, it's called an inciting incident. Something happens in a story, and they're thrust into the story. Well, they're written characters, and so they have absolutely no choice. They have to enter the story. But you and I don't. We can have something happen that we feel tugging us into a story, and we can still say no. And we can still always wonder what would have happened. We can still regret that we never actually entered that story. And on it goes. I mean, and the more that we say no to the story, the more stories, because we have them throughout our life, these different opportunities to enter these stories. And the more we say no to them, the easier it becomes. Now, man, the Lord, the story that He has for us, I mentioned before, it's an epic tale. I mean, if just imagine being the type of person that did. You dreamed the biggest dreams, but they didn't just remain dreams. Like, you started to go toward them. Imagine being the type of person that faced their fears. I mean, imagine that was you. We know some people like that, and we love that about them, and we want to hear their stories, right? And even their stories kind of awaken something inside of us. But imagine if you were that person. That's one thing I love about when we've all gone to camp is that people that are afraid of heights will often go up on something that was really high, right? People that relationally have a more difficult time, like I did when I was growing up, they're kind of thrust into a story where, you know, when you're with somebody for 6-7 days, when you're with a group of people, then after a while, you know, you kind of have to enter that story. You know, that's one of the reasons why I love it. And I love when I see people taking faith steps because, again, they see the story and they actually go. So God has this story for us. And there, yes, there's twists and there's turns and all that type of stuff, but we kind of feel the story the Lord has for us, that He's tugging on our hearts, like, just keep coming. I mean, just keep coming. You won't regret it. Just keep coming. Now, none of it's going to happen, though. None of it happens. All that stuff that the Lord has for us if we don't enter the story. Now, there's a problem. There's a problem that I think one of the main reasons why we don't enter these stories is because we don't know where the story is going to take us. And I remember right before I became a Christ follower, so I had a bunch of questions. If you're like me, then, you know, just that intellectual aspect, the rational aspect, and all that logic. And then I had a friend, and I had all my questions answered. Still didn't become a Christ follower, you know. And I mean, He just hadn't awakened that thing inside of me. But if you would have asked me then, I would have known to put it to words. But it had a whole lot to do with I liked how my life was, and I didn't know how it was. I didn't know where He's going to take me. You know, and a lot of times people will say things like, I don't know if He's going to send me to, and they always say, it's always the deepest, darkest jungles in Africa. That's what they always say. I don't know if He's asked me to give up everything, because apparently Jesus did that at times. I don't know what he's going to ask me to do. And I think that's one of the reasons why we keep, because we don't know how it's going to end up. And he won't tell you. You know, that's the whole faith aspect, the trust aspect. He's just saying, come follow me. Just come follow me. And then he won't tell us a whole lot more than that. Now, when I hear this story, I think about one of the heroes of the faith. I mean, this guy would be on, if there was a Mount Rushmore of faith, he'd be on it. And I'm talking about Moses. You know, because you got, parts the Red Sea, right? I mean, like, boom. That's awesome. You got the Ten Commandments. You know, you've heard of the mic drop, but he had like the staff drop. He dropped the staff and boom, it turns into a snake. And it's like, what? I mean, the stuff that Moses did was, you know, astonishing. You know, Jesus himself would quote Moses. Imagine if, well, he was dead for thousands of years, but if not, and it was like, hey, man, Jesus is quoting you again. I mean, imagine Moses, that's like being quoted by Jesus himself, like, well, yeah, you know, Jesus quotes me all the time. He would be on the Mount Rushmore. He's one of the heroes of the faith. And there's the whole thing where he led God's people out of Egyptian slavery. All right, so when God comes to Moses, you know, there's other stuff that happens before what I'm going to read. And, I just love this story because it's personal to me because I remember when it first impacted me. So there's a lot of stuff that happens, but what we're going to pick up, and it's not going to be up there, so you can just listen. If you have your Bible and you want to open up to it, then it's Exodus 3. But we see God come to Moses, and this, in fact, is kind of the type of thing where if this was a movie, you'd begin to hear that Rocky music in the background. Not necessarily the trumpet part, but just that part that's da-na-na-na-na, and then it's like dong, and it's like the sound of a bell. It just begins to build up and build up to the point where you would hear the Rocky stuff, all right? Because God comes to Moses, and he's like, all right, this is what we're going to do. And so listen as I read. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro. Jeth, that's a great name. Well, and he was out in the country, so that's kind of a fitting name. The priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, well, I will turn aside to see this great sight. Why? The bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the Egyptians and bring them to a broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. All right, see, that's kind of an awesome. I mean, there's a burning bush. And like, why isn't it burning up? It's burning, but it's not burning up. So he goes to check it out, and here's the voice of God. And so they have this little conversation. And God's like, man, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. And no one's sent to Pharaoh. Pharaoh sends for you. So I'm sending you to Pharaoh, and then blah, 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 and then you know, you're going to lead my people out of slavery, and it's awesome, all right? And so, but what I love is that, you know, the true people in the Bible, the people in the Bible, they respond so often like you and I would respond, all right? So how does Moses, I mean, this big Moses, hero of the faith, how does he respond? Some of you know. And it's so telling because of what Moses would later, what he would later do. So how does he respond? But Moses said to God, I mean, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I mean, God himself is saying what's going to happen. So like he knows, he is saying this is going to happen. And then Moses says, well, who am I? I mean, really, who am I? I mean, like, there's really a I think you have the wrong person. You know, I mean, I used to be in that. I used to be there. And because of all that you know happened, I had to run from it. I ran away. So I think you are actually calling on the wrong person to go back and lead all those people from under Pharaoh's nose out of slavery. I think you got the wrong guy. Like, who, me? See, the thing about, see, this is Moses, though. It's like, well, Moses, but he wasn't Moses yet. Not the Moses that we've come to know, if you kind of know the story. No, he was the same as you and me. He had all of his fears, and he had all the stuff in his past, and he had all the stuff that kept him from wanting to enter the story. And again, he didn't know where the story would take him. You know, even though God himself was saying, this is where the story is going to take you, still he did not know. And so I wonder, I mean, isn't that you? I mean, I think to myself, I mean, isn't that you? When we talk about the things of the faith, the things that the Lord would have us do in order to follow him, don't we so often just talk ourselves out of things instead of talking ourselves into it? Instead of saying, you know what, I mean, God himself, I feel, is tugging on my heart, and God would know where he's sending me, and I can trust God, and he has proven himself faithful. He created the universe and all this stuff, and he even created me. That's how we could talk ourselves into it, but we don't usually use those words. We usually say, but who am I? I mean, I think about, it's like, I mean, look at my sin. Look at all the times that I failed. Who am I? And I think that for most of us that are hearing this, that is us. And so we feel the tug on our heart. And so, I mean, what is that for you? I mean, when it comes to following the Lord, what are the things that the Lord, and I'm not asking this to answer, I'm just saying to think to yourself, what are those things that the Lord, where he's tugging on our hearts and we feel him tugging, those things that we're kind of resistant to? I mean, just think, what are those things in your life? It's almost like you don't even like when it's brought up. You know, I'm willing to do this and this, but that, and what are those things in your life? I mean, everybody has them. And what are your reasons for not entering into that story? It's a good question for you and me to ask. Now, you know, I want you to know you're not alone when it comes to this. You know, for me, the newest of stories for me, and I've mentioned this the last 2 weeks, so I'm not going to go far into it, but you know, my dad died a few weeks ago, and out of the blue, and it wrecked me in a lot of ways. But I'm entering into a story without him. I'm entering into a story where my mom doesn't have him, so I'm having conversations with her that I never wanted to have. You know, entering into a story, even with the church, with things that I'm like, okay, all right, God, you know, what are you doing here? You know, what are you doing? You know, a story with, you know, even as a husband and as a friend and as a father, as a son to my mom, and you know, brother to my two brothers and sister, you know, and there's a lot of questions I have. I don't know that it's questions I have. It's just there's a lot of stuff that's stirring where I feel like. Have you ever been in a pool, and you're kind of, you know, and it's pretty high up, and then you're kind of like, if you're tiptoeing to barely get, you know, on top of it, and then someone sweeps your leg, you know, like if you had brothers or whatever, and then they sweep your friends, and you're like, whoa, and you lose your balance. You know, I kind of feel like that. Like, I just feel a little like I feel God's my rock, and I feel pretty firm in that, but I still feel unsettled about some stuff. That I just don't, I'm in new territory, right? So, what about you, though? I mean, what is it? You know, what are the things that are going on in your life that's just causing you to ask questions? You know, is it just about who you are? The person that, you know, how you feel about yourself, the person that you look at in the mirror? Is it what other people are saying about you? Is it, even in this talk right now, are you relating more to the person? Are you someone that says, well, I've actually done some things with my work and my family and all that. I've done some stuff. Or do you relate, I think like most people, to the fact of, yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunities. I know there's a lot of stuff that I wish I had done that I don't do, and I feel bad about it, and I can't go back and change it. Yeah. So here's the thing. You know, I mentioned that God has for us an epic tale. It's something beyond our wildest dreams, and that's just not talk. I don't just say that because I'm supposed to say that. I mean, I firmly believe it. I've gotten tastes of it here and there in my own life. You know, but there's something that I think that it's where we go wrong in our thinking. it's a big reason why, again, we don't enter into the story. And it's that when we hear that God has for us a great story, we feel like we have a lot of pressure on us to make our story great. And we feel bad when our story is not great. We put it on us. And this kind of goes back to a series that we did a while back. In fact, the team leaders made a t-shirt out of it. You don't have to make your story great. You don't. The truth is that while we have our story, that stirring in our hearts that there's something bigger going on, it's that there is. This is the greatest story ever told, and it's a true story against God's story. And so we don't have to make our story great. We just have to take our story, enter into God's story, because it's already great. So you have to make it great. You just got to enter his story. It is already great. But still we feel the pressure, like, I've got to do something. I've got to have the strength, or I've got to have the courage. In fact, for those who are more courageous, have to be careful, because we just feel like we can take on the world. And where's our reliance on the Lord? So you don't have to. When I think about God's story, the greatest story ever told, I mean, think about it. See, the thing about the narrative arc, that whole, the structure of a story, it reflects, though not all the time perfectly, the greatest story ever told. That's why I think something stirs in us when we see the inspirational stories. And it's not such a small thing where it's like, well, I want to try more stuff. It's a bigger thing that we're getting stirred toward. It's God's story. It's just something much, much bigger. And that narrative arc, so when we see these stories, it inspires us because there's something bigger going on, that greater story. And so think about the greater story. A likable character? I would say Jesus is pretty likable, though a lot of people hated him. But today, I don't hear a lot of people knocking Jesus, even now. They don't. I mean, Christians, the church, left and right. But not so much Jesus. And I think it's because most people don't understand, really, who Jesus was. Because the more that people understand, the more they may not like a lot of the stuff that he actually did say. But he's a likable character, right? And so what's the inciting incident? Well, there's a lot throughout, but the one involving us was, you know, after creation, sin entered the world. That wrecked everything. Well, so along with the story structure, well, so we have this likable character who wants something. What does he want? He wants to make it right again. And so talking about entering into a story, God himself becomes one of us, and he enters into the story. Now, were there twists and turns? They're still going on. It's amazing, the twists and turns. Just as you look at the time period when Jesus walked the earth, the twists and turns were amazing. The story, unbelievable. And so he wants something. He wants our relationship made right with the Father once again. And so he comes close to us so we can be close to the Father. So much so that he actually goes through great pain. He goes to the cross. He dies for our sin. And when he comes back to life, and when we believe and trust in Jesus, the relationship with the Father is made right again. And then not only that, we have the opportunity to enter into an amazing story. We have forgiveness of sin. He has created a new us. The old is gone, the new has come. This life to the full that we're promised, it's right there for us. He has it for us. We just have to follow him into it. So again, going back to that one series, we talked about it the whole time. I mean, you were made for greatness. You were made for a great story. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. But it's not your story. Rather than, again, try to make your story great, just be part of God's, because it's already great. All right, now, here's the thing. I know that there's stuff that gets in the way. I mean, just think about life and our busyness and our fatigue and our fears and our past. And, man, there's everything that just gets in the way of us following God into his story. And you might feel a little bit like Moses, who, me? And he was being called into something dramatic. for you and me, we can feel a tug on our heart to go talk to that person that no one talks to and everybody has a good reason. See, we're not, that's, it's stuff like that that he's saying, I mean, just follow me. You're not going to regret it. But I don't want to talk to that person. I know, but I want you to talk to that person. It's that stuff. Stuff involving the church. And when I say that, of course, it's stuff around, but I mean, it's just relationally. Be in the church. You know, not just showing up on Sunday. But you might feel like Moses. And here's something I've said a lot, and Gabe, if you'd put it up. And I mean, this, I think, is powerful. Because, you know, Rocky, it's a great story. Why? Because of the struggle. It mirrors a little bit of his own story, Sylvester Stallone's. But so the greater the struggle, the greater the story. That's just true. The biggest struggle is like, oh, wow, I can't believe you overcame. But then for the Christ follower, the greater the struggle, the greater the story. Still true, but then the greater the credit the Lord has given. I could have put the greater the glory because it rhymes. It's just a word we don't use a whole lot. But greater the credit that the Lord has given. So it's like, wow. Like, I can't believe that story. I mean, I can't. Someone's watching, and I can't believe that you overcame. And that seems, I mean, the struggle, the difficulty. It's like, wow. They're not thinking, what a great story, but it's what a great story. And when they get to know you and they talk to you about it, and what you're doing is you are an arrow pointing to the Lord, then all of a sudden the Lord's given credit. It's like, wow. Maybe there's something to this God stuff. Because I wouldn't react the way you do. I wouldn't forgive the way you did. You know, I wouldn't have been kind to that person. I would have joined in the joking that everybody says, you know, instead of walking away. I would have put all that junk on Facebook, you know, and you don't. You know, you put stuff that's positive. You put stuff that's, you know, honoring to the Lord, and most people just don't do that. But I know that there's barriers. I know that there's things. But just know that in the midst of your struggle, there's not a thing out there that you're going through, not one thing that God doesn't desire to use to grow you, not one thing. Even the worst of stuff, I mean, dealing with difficulty lately, I could speak on, and I kind of did last week in the time I was before, about what God has done as a result of my dad dying. Really the worst day of my life, worst week of my life, and he showed up in ways that I'd never experienced in my life. It's true of the big things, but it's true of the small things, the difficulties, your personality, the things that you struggle with, and all that. I mean, it really is astonishing. And so now there's someone in the Bible, and I'm going to cover this quickly because we've got to wrap up. I'm just going to say it. The guy that followed Moses. The guy that followed Moses, Joshua. You can imagine, you're following Moses. He was afraid. All right, so Gabe, let's go ahead and put it up. This is what God told him, and he tells you, because it applies to you and me. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. All right? And if you look at verse 5, he actually says, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. The same guy. The same God that said, now who me? When you're saying who me, is as I was with Moses, I proved myself, right? With Moses, I will prove myself in your life. And he doesn't feel a desire to prove himself because he does it left and right, but still, you follow him and he will prove himself. All right, so the Lord's calling you in an epic story. Let's quickly cover something we can do this week. Let's hit the next one. You know, a lot of times I put questions, things to reflect and think about. Look, you know what? It's not that. This time it's saying, I'm going to do it. Lord, I'm willing to enter into your story. If that's becoming a Christ follower, then that's that. If it's being baptized, then the next step, if it's that. But then just start wherever you are. You have to just follow him. It's what we can all do from where we are is start. And the next thing, there's cards out there, invite. That's a great way to grow in your faith. All right, now there's a clip of a movie, speaking of movies, that I want to show, and I've showed it in the past, and I just think it's perfect for what we're talking about. So let's go and hit it.
What is it?
It's a robot. But like a different, you know, like a super advanced robot. It's probably Japanese. Yeah. It's definitely Japanese.
What are you doing?
I don't think it wants to hurt us. Have we done that already?
Really? Well, do you speak robot? Because they just had like a giant joint death match.
I think it wants something from me.
What?
Well, because the other one was talking about my eBay page.
You are the strangest boy I have ever met.
Can you talk?
XM satellite radio.
One digital cable brings you.
The broadcasting system.
So you talk through the radio?
Actually, you do. You're wonderful. You're wonderful.
So what was that last night? What was that?
Message from Starfleet.
Throughout the inanimate vastness of things.
Rain down like visitors from heaven. Hallelujah.
Visitors from heaven. What? What are you, like an alien or something?
Any more questions you want to ask?
Who wants us to get in the car?
And go where?
50 years from now, when you're looking back at your life, don't you want to be able to say you had the guts to get in the car?
All right, so the Lord has invited you into an epic story, his own. And we're not promised tomorrow, but let's say you're given tomorrow and beyond that. Wouldn't you like to be able to look back and say that you had the guts to get in the car? Let's pray. My Lord and my God, I just don't feel like I have a whole lot to say. I'm just going to let you talk, hopefully, to our hearts. Lord, we so often ask for your blessing. Reality is you have blessed us. Help us to be thankful. Help us to grow. And I pray that you do something in us that will make us willing to enter into your story and never turn back. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.